Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
All right, well, good morning. So I'm here, I'm relaxed, I got my cup of coffee, and I've got a few thoughts here on my notes, and then I'm going to put my notes aside and just riff with you for a moment or two, see where the Holy Spirit wants to take us here this morning. Let me just let you know that as we're looking into 2021, this is a time in my own personal life here at the Fellowship where I kind of comb through some things. I spend some time looking at what's been going on in the last year, looking at where we're headed, asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there anything you want to share that would help kind of help lead us and guide us into this new season? And so with that, I just know that, you know, whether it's in your own personal life or if you're leading a group of people, offering leadership to others, I mean, you find yourself at a lot of forks in the road. You know, you got those decisions. Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I do this? Do I do that? And you also find yourself at several crossroads sometimes along the journey, and you have multiple options, and it's just really important for us to have discernment and to have a spiritual IQ that can help us discern and really be led by the Lord. I mean, I just think it's so important as we endeavor to have a life in the Spirit that we would live according to that Spirit, and that Spirit is moving, and that Spirit is guiding us and leading us. And even as leaders, I mean, far be it from us to have some kind of warped, narcissistic idea of ourselves that we're the leaders. Honestly, I mean, you think about it, this is the Lord's church. Jesus is the head of this family, and all of us have different roles that we function in to help facilitate what God wants to do, not only in our community of faith here, but also, you know, just around the world. So in our neighborhoods and in our nations, I mean, the Lord has plans for us, and they're good. And we want to be walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And so that's why Romans 8 is so encouraging for us, that the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace, but the mind controlled by the flesh, the old nature, as it were, is death. There's no life in that kind of leadership. It's just a lot of striving, and it's also a lot of vying for place amongst your brothers and sisters. And that whole dominance hierarchy just really gets in the way unless Jesus truly is the Alpha, right? Then we can just submit and yield to His leadership. And so that's what I do this time of year. I spend some time. I try to just dial down a bit and listen. And I also go through some things, you know, that are part of our fellowship, like our website and just some of the things that we put out as like, this is who we are. This is our ethos. This is what we're about. Just do a pulse read on that and check, you know, is that accurate? Is that something that we're truly living by or not? And so anyway, it's a good time of year. It's fun to do that. I want to just talk to us a little bit about settling into that mystery, that middle mystery of the paradox. Remember last time we were together, I talked a bit about that. Those two seemingly inconsistent truths that are held together in the same time and space. And One thing I wanted to mention about living in that place of the middle mystery, I think the Lord allows the paradox not so that we would solve the questions as much as it would that we would be transformed by living in that mystery, that we would experience transformation as the result of being okay with holding two things that may seem at tension with one another. They're not. Often if it's in the kingdom, if it's something that the Lord has described for us, there's a reason for it, and it's not to start arguments. It's to actually help bring transformation to our own hearts and let that kind of flow out as we settle into this place of the middle mystery. Let me give you an example of this. One of the things we talked about last time was, on one hand, trusting the consistent ways of God, what might be referred to as the ancient ways. So that's the one hand. And then on the other hand, trusting God that He is doing a new thing. And so, okay, do we follow the ancient ways or do we look for the new things? And the answer is yes and. And so Jeremiah 6:16, it tells us this. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. So there it is. You got a Y in the road, just stop. Just hold on. Stand there for a minute and look. Use your perception. Use your discernment. And then ask for the ancient paths. Who are you asking? You're asking the Lord. Lord, what is your tried and true consistent way constantly? Like, what is it about you? I heard this once, that if you're going to err in your theology, which we all will, I will err in my theology. I will not always have it correct. But if I'm going to err, I want to err on the side of love. Because theology is the study of who God is and what He's like, right? So I want to err on the side of love, because God is not hate. God is not war. God is not, the long list of things that we could line up our theology with that could actually cause us to miss who God really is and what He's really like, because at the end of the day, God is love. And so that being said, we want to stop and ask Him, like, what are the ancient ways? In other words, what is the way of love here? That could be one way to ask that question, because it goes on to say, ask where the good way is. So you stand at the crossroads, you look, you ask for the ancient ways, where the good way is, and then walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So that's a beautiful invitation to just follow the ancient ways, the good ways, the ways of love. And then we read in Isaiah 43:18-19, forget the former things. Wait a minute, I thought you just said follow the ancient ways. No, he's saying this here in Isaiah 43:18-19, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So with that, I think what it comes down to for us is an encouragement that Jesus actually spoke to in a parable in Matthew 13:52, I believe it was. Yeah. And this is what He says about those who are like following or learning or endeavoring to understand more the way of the kingdom. So when it comes to the vision that we have for our fellowship, when it comes to the vision that we want to be kind of focusing on, holding that tension of, okay, follow the ancient ways and perceive the new thing that God is doing simultaneously, we can look at this where it says we want to be like the students of the kingdom that Jesus referred to in Matthew 13:52. And I'm just going to try to remember it here. I think what he talks about is like we're like the head of the household who goes in and brings out his treasures, both old and new. There are treasures, both old and new, that we can be bringing to bear in our lives. And so with that, I'm going to close this computer, and it's going to flicker here for a second, and I'm going to just have a little conversation with you. Because I went through and I looked at our website, and I love the things that it describes, and I love how it's worded. I remember spending plenty of time with Chris Haggerty and Todd Anderson and myself putting some thoughts down on that. And if you haven't had a chance to really look at that recently, I would encourage you to revisit that, because there's not a whole lot of changes I'll be making. There are a couple, but nothing major. Not when it comes to like the core ethos of who we believe we're being called to in the city. You know, we found ourselves in an interesting season in 2020 when we found ourselves with the COVID lockdown and just having to make some rapid adjustments, going virtual, and then coming out into the summer where we were able to meet outside, and then forming up these small groups, these Aspen Groves, and then having the rhythm of every other Sunday doing Aspen Grove and then gathering live and broadcasting that. So kind of a blend of all three of those things happening. And I think that that was a real gift from the Father to help give us some inspiration on that. But I want you to know something, that the decision to do Aspen Groves was not born out of a necessity to respond to COVID-19 and the shutdown. That this has actually been in our DNA for many, many, many years. And it was like, all right, here's our opportunity. Where's the silver lining in this mess that we find ourselves in? Well, let's start small groups. We've always wanted to do it. We never felt like it was the right time to make a huge shift like that, or at least I didn't perceive that. But anyway, that being said, I'm really grateful. I'm very, very grateful, to the point where I'm looking at, you know, like the New Testament, and I'm looking at the book of Acts. I'm looking at just what the first generation church did, and I'm drawing from that, but I have to be careful, because if I'm going to take Isaiah seriously, I'm not going to choose to dwell in that past. So I don't want to just always aspire to going back to the first generation model, because I understand that the kingdom of God and the governance of Christ has been advancing, which means to me that the things that were are building blocks to the things that will become. And there will be ancient ways that will be consistent all the way through history that will be really informing what's being done. So that being said, I want to draw from the history that we have in the Bible, and I also want to model some things off of that without feeling obligated to try to replicate it, as it were. In other words, take the model of the New Testament and the first generation church, and let it be a template that we can contextualize in our situation, in our life, in our town, and, you know, with you folks. And so that's a very missional mindset. And I want to go into a little bit of the vision that I've had for Emmaus Fellowship for some time. I won't spend too much time on this, but I think it's worth just bringing out occasionally. Some of you have heard this, and so thank you for bearing with me as I revisit this for some of the folks that maybe haven't heard this. But you know, as a kingdom-oriented fellowship, that means that we are Christocentric. We have Christ at the center, and it's towards Christ that we're moving. And he's the king of the kingdom of God on the earth as it is in heaven. And that kingdom is what we're called to seek first. It's what we're called to be a part of. I was asked recently, how do you seek first the kingdom? Well, everything about the kingdom emanates from the heart of the king. So in a real practical and accessible way, one spiritual practice that I have is, no matter what situation I find myself in, especially difficult situations, I want to pause. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to take over my imagination and to connect me with Jesus in a way that I can ask honestly, Jesus, where are you in this? That's seeking first the kingdom of God, because once Jesus reveals where he's at, what he's doing, what he's thinking, his heart about me, his heart about the situation, then I'm able to lay hold of that narrative as opposed to the narrative that might be glaring right in front of me, but maybe tied to something temporal, because our eyes are to be looking at the things above and not on temporal things. So we're kingdom people, which means that we're sons and daughters, and the Father is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his Father, our Father, is a benevolent God. He's the Father of light, and he gives good gifts to his children, and in him there is no hidden folds or darkness. There's no secret thing. There's no secret in the sense of, like, he's not manipulative. And he's very clear about his love towards his children and towards all of humanity. I see that very clearly throughout Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that any one of us who puts our faith in Christ would have eternal life. And I believe that that eternal life is life in the kingdom here and now and throughout eternity. All right. So that being said, when we look at the first generation church, we recognize that they were kingdom people, obviously. I mean, they had been brought out of a lot of religiosity, and they'd been brought into some freedoms in Christ. They had been anointed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had taken up residence in them, and they were living life in a way that was kingdom oriented. And part of their modality was they were doing two things simultaneously. One, they were meeting on Solomon's colonnade, which is Solomon's porch, which is in the temple. All right, so you have the old way. That's the ancient thing, right? The temple. And they're meeting there. And it says that the people who had relatives who were sick or people around in the community would often bring those folks to the disciples and to the people of God at Solomon's colonnade, and many were healed. And there was a lot of miraculous stuff that was happening on Solomon's colonnade. Again, resemblance of the old way, resemblance of a system of doing life in faith that a lot of people could relate to. Even the ones who were not a part of the original discipleship group, maybe they were new into the fold. It says that there were many who were coming to faith daily. And so in addition to the meeting on Solomon's colonnade, they were also meeting in homes. And they were meeting, gathering in one another's homes, and they were sharing meals together. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to prayer, the breaking of bread, and to the Lord's Supper. So communion could be a real focal point there for a lot of the folks then. And so there's this interesting blend where it's not either or, it's yes and. And I find that our niche and what the Lord has asked us to do here at Emmaus Fellowship is to essentially provide a place that's familiar, like church, like coming to church in the middle of town with, you know, a building and a steeple, and, you know, people recognize it. They walk through town, they drive through town, there's a church. And having that be very similar to Solomon's colonnade, but just like any colonnade or a foyer, it's not the main house. Okay? So Emmaus Fellowship on a Sunday morning is not the epicenter of our Christian experience. The kingdom of God is. And so just like the colonnade, it ushers us into the things of God that are beyond the foyer. And I would say that that's true about our gatherings on Sunday. They simply give us an opportunity to celebrate together, to see each other, to be together, to worship together, to be encouraged together. But when we walk out these doors, we're walking right into and continuing to walk in the reality of God's kingdom, which is integrated in every aspect of our life. So there's a lot in that. But let me just kind of tell you a little bit of a story that I've shared before, because this is kind of the vision that God gave me. So let's say you have people who are either unchurched, or maybe they're highly institutionalized in religion, even Christian religion, but not so much kingdom of God. And I don't know if I need to really make a delineation between those two, but some of you know what I'm talking about. I mean, some of us have spent many years in the church, and we were compliant to the kind of to the program of the church, but we weren't so much like, I don't want to get into this too deep. I don't want to pull any pins on grenades either and throw them into the church. I mean, I love the church. The church is beautiful. The church is the bride of Christ. But humanity gets in the way. And if our minds are not set on the things of the Spirit, if our minds are set on the flesh, we can create all sorts of things that don't bring life, right? And sometimes church can be one of those things. And so that being said, that's all I'll say about that. But that being said, you know, we are coming into a space that where we say yes to the King of the Kingdom, and we are Christocentric. In other words, he's our center point. And as we do that, we understand that there are some that are highly institutionalized that are disillusioned with the church. And they need a place to come into. Like, here's my thought about that. When I was working, Tiffany and I, we started working with kids who were locked up. This is going back several years, almost 30 years now. And we found that after a kid had been in the institution for about a year, they became so familiar with that institution. There was a lot of predictability with that. They even had relationships that had a lot of family language around that. Like we were technically, we were called house parents. But at the end of the day, I mean, come time off, we were out. I mean, we weren't their parents. I mean, honestly, I mean, we were there and we were caring for them while we were there. But the language of family didn't mean we were family, right? But that, all that to say is they had a sense of family that felt very real to them, maybe for the first time in their life. And so when they would get discharged out of the program, many of them would cycle back into the program or get in worse trouble and end up in jail. So it's what you would call being institutionalized, right? You had grown so familiar and so dependent on the institution that you couldn't manage life outside of that institution and outside of those structured boundaries. Now, what we did discover, and this is what the leadership of the program that we were working at discovered, is that the success of a kid coming out of the institution into the quote-unquote real world depended on a step-down program. And that step-down program was a house that would have a semblance of boundaries and familiarities, but would offer more and more freedoms and discovery outside of the institution. But there was always kind of a safe place to come back. And I felt for years and years and years that Emmaus was very much a step-down program for the highly institutionalized Christians, religious folk who coming out of the church that maybe they were disillusioned with and straight into the world of the kingdom might be a little bit overwhelming. And so wouldn't it be great if we were to offer a way for people to experience kind of that step into something that's still familiar, it still has boundaries, and yet constantly trying to help people discover the integration of God's kingdom in every facet of their life. So that's one aspect of it that I really wanted to just kind of point out here this morning. So again, being cognizant of the time and the fact that this really does excite me and I can talk about this actually for quite a long time. I want to pause here for a second and I want to just peel back just a little bit and just say this, that the Aspen Grove groups that you're a part of or the Aspen Grove groups that you're being invited into, they're part of our DNA. They're not simply a response to a crisis. They were actually a part of our DNA for many, many years. And one of the things that we want to emphasize is that when you're a part of an Aspen Grove, you're a part of a group of people that can get to know one another more personally. And in a sense, a very real sense, you can choose whether or not you're going to live life together. Living your faith out with other people, to me, that is the church. We don't come to church. We are the church. We know this. And this is one very beautiful way that we can express that and be like the church with each other. And one of the other things about church, as you're living life out together, is you're not simply living life for your own group, that this group is being empowered to live life for others outside of the church, outside of your circle. And so that missional mindset is a constant sort of thing in the backdrop as well that I want to keep emphasizing. And we have been emphasizing that over the last couple of months. So anyway, thanks for letting me just take some time to riff with you about the vision of Emmaus Fellowship, some things that God has given me related to Solomon's Colonnade and how that's an entrance into the larger world of God's kingdom, that we're not wanting to be institutionalized. We're actually wanting to live kind of in the wild places with God, right? We're not committed to a suburban expression of Christianity where we have all of our tidy cul-de-sacs and all of our white picket fences in a row, but we would allow ourselves to venture into some places with God that are new, that are adventurous, maybe difficult, but you're not alone. And you have a group of people and you're growing into a fellowship, and we're all growing into this fellowship in new ways that I'm excited about for 2021. So God bless you, and we'll just let you take a minute to reflect on a few of these thoughts before we enter into our prompts. Thank you.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.